Can Democrats flip three Michigan districts in 2016? That's the question that Detroit Free Press' Nancy Kaffer is pondering. Hello, Nancy.
Hi, how are you today?
Good to have you back with us on Stateside. And here to ponder the question along with her is Zoe Clark, Michigan Radio's co-host of It's Just Politics. Hey, Zoe.
Hello there.
So, Nancy, your column was really interesting. You look at three congressional districts in Michigan that are controlled now by Republicans. But in your piece for the Free Press, you wonder aloud, could that change next year? So which districts are they and why?
So they're the 1st, the 7th, and the 8th U.S. House districts. These are all three districts which have gone Republican in the last election or the last election or two by pretty narrow margins, like, you know, 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 percentage points. And typically presidential years tend to favor Democrats, more Democrats come out to vote. So a district that was went 53 or 51% Republican in a non-presidential year could easily see a Democratic majority come out to vote. And so you have three Democrats running for these seats, all of whom have, and this is the most important part, the ability to raise the kind of money that it takes to get a congressional seat.
Because that's, of course, what this all comes down to right now is money. And that's one of the reasons why in the 7th congressional district right now, Republican incumbent Tim Walberg and Gretchen Driscoll, a Democratic state rep, she announced months and months and months ago, mainly so that she could start fundraising. And so what these folks know, the challengers, is not only do we need to get out there, get name recognition, but we need to start having some kind of organization, which really means start to get some money.
Well, let's break.
And that's real, but that's really like a what came first, the chicken or the egg? How do you get name recognition? Well, it takes money. How do you get money? Well, you need name recognition. So it's a process that if you're someone like Driscoll, who's a state lawmaker, who you know, I think is well known in her community, but needs to broaden her appeal, it's not a bad idea to start pretty early, trying to put together the kind of war chest you need to take on an incumbent.
Versus Nancy, who you mentioned in the 8th congressional district that made headlines. We have Melissa Gilbert,
yes.
Democrat, jumping into the race, running against Republican Mike Bishop. Melissa Gilbert, of course, of Laura Ingalls Wilder fame.
Half pint. No, I mean, talk about name recognition, and former president of the Screen Actors Guild for a couple of terms.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly name recognition is not a problem there.
No, and thus the money will come. I mean, I can remember last year when Mark Schauer was running for governor, and there was a period of time where Melissa Gilbert went along with him, obviously, to kind of try to get out there to get some excitement. And I mean, the poor guy, Melissa Gilbert, would walk in, and I mean, just the energy and the attention would just sort of whoom, go over to her. I in fact, helped take photos of her with some folks who were in the audience who were that excited. And meanwhile, Mark Schauer, the Democrat who's running for, you know, the largest executive office in the state, is like, hey, guys, standing over here. Hey,
over here.
Hey, over here.
All right.
Her challenge will be to convince people that she is a credible candidate in terms of she's got the name recognition, she's got the star power, but, you know, we already see the attacks from the other side are she's an out-of-touch actress. You know, to attempt to paint her as someone who's frivolous and isn't really up to the job. And so how she responds to that will be interesting and influential in how she does.
I'm wondering, we certainly have heard about her tax problems, and I know the campaign has said that she's worked out a plan to have them paid off by 2024. But the fact that divorce, job prospects dried up, money troubles, is that something that could actually help her with the everyday person that may be going through some of the same problems?
So there's two things there. Number one, yeah, I think that this is a relatable situation for a lot of people who've lived through the recession and who found that their house wasn't worth what they thought it was worth, that their investments weren't worth what they thought they were worth. Maybe lost their job, had trouble finding work. That's a situation a lot of folks have experienced, and I think that any effort to kind of paint that out as incredibly irresponsible or really out of the norm could backfire and could offend people who have had that same experience. On the other hand, you know, she does owe like couple hundred, it was
$470,000.
And then you start to think like, that's an awful lot of money. What's her income? And so there is that risk there. This is a situation a lot of us have been through, but it's a lot bigger numbers than most of us are used to dealing
exactly.
with.
Exactly. And so that's going to be what she has to be careful on the campaign trail. The last thing she can do is show up. I mean, I'm not assuming that during the winter campaigning she's going to come in a fur jacket, but like those are the kind of things that she's going to have to be really, really careful about. You're not going to show up in a Bentley to your campaign
this is an experience that people in the district can probably relate to, but it's not the same situation for people in the district.
Right.
So
let's get over to the first district. Speaking of ability to raise money.
Lon Johnson, right, former chair of the Michigan Democratic Party, made his name by using W-I-N for Democrats over and over again in the 2014 election. Didn't turn out as much as he was hoping or as he had a lot of Democrats hoping. So he has turned his head now to running in the first congressional district against Dan Benyshek. And there's an interesting dynamic here that I'll throw out there, which is that Dan Benyshek took a three-term pledge when he first ran. And guess what? That third term is what he is running for right now. He has since decided he is going to run for a fourth. So that is something, obviously, that Lon Johnson will use against him, as well as the fact that for many, many years, the first congressional district was held by a Democrat, Bart Stupak, for years and years, although it is very fair to say that Stupak was much more conservative. Not much more, but more conservative than Lon Johnson.
And Benyshek won by a pretty decent margin, if I'm recalling the numbers correctly, in the last
seven election. 7 points.
But prior to that, it was a squeaker, wasn't it?
It was less than one point.
Wow.
Right, and that was a presidential year, which may be the more valid comparison as opposed to a midterm election. So, he also has really outraised his opponents in the last two cycles. This is something which would be a really huge competitive advantage. That will not probably play out the same way in a race against Lon Johnson, because if we know one thing about Lon, it's that he can bring in money.
And support and big names. I mean, he is friendly with folks in D.C. His wife, Juliana Smoot, worked for President Obama. When they need to get money, they will be able to do it. Now, I will say, just actually an hour or two ago, Gongware News Service is reporting that Jerry Cannon, who ran in 2012 as the Democrat against Benyshek, is saying he's going to run again as a Democrat. So it could be that Lon Johnson sees a primary in the Democratic field, and it could also very well be that Benyshek sees a primary in the Republican field. So it may be that this is a heated primary before we even get to Election Day in the first congressional district.
I think there's a lot on the table up there in the first. I think that people, you know, see a big opportunity up there. Benyshek seems, in terms of looking at those three districts that are potentially up to flip, I don't think any of them are anything close to what we call a gimme. It's all going to be a fight for those Democratic challengers to win. But I would say that the first is probably the one where there's the most significant real possibility because of Johnson's fundraising history, his name recognition, and Benyshek's, you know, weaknesses in terms of the past cycles that he's run in.
And as you pointed out in your column, Nancy, yesterday in the Free Press, that the GOP seems to be noting this because all three incumbents are in the Patriot program?
Yes. Now, the Patriot program is what the GOP has. They say it's their program to, help preserve, help out incumbent candidates who are facing challengers, but it's sort of widely known to be their program for districts or seats that they see as vulnerable. And so all three of these folks are in the Patriot program. You know, so what does that mean? It means they're going to be getting some resources from the National Committee. Now, on the flip side, all three of these contenders will be angling to be moved into the DCCC's, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, into their program, Red to Blue, which is the table that they use for Democratic challengers of Republican incumbents that they feel like really have a shot. Those decisions won't be made till next year sometime, likely. But that means more resources from the National Party coming into your campaign. And so all three of these candidates will want to get into that program. So there's national resources coming into play on all sides here.
And what's so interesting to note, Nancy, just to add on top of that, is this idea that, yes, it's good for Democrats to have as many of these districts as possibilities for them, right? Mm-hmm. That they want them. But at the same time, there is going to be some infighting for national money, for national organization. You know, part of me thought when Lon Johnson jumped in, God, I wonder what Gretchen Driscoll thinks about this. Mm-hmm. Because suddenly the national money is going, okay, we've got to decide here. So, yes, as a whole, Democrats want as many competitive districts. But at the national level, there is only a certain amount of money from the DCCC to decide. And now these candidates are all going to be angling for it, including Melissa Gilbert.
Yes, that's absolutely true. I don't know which of them is going to look more attractive to a national audience. You've got Lon, he's got the contacts, he's got the fundraising ability. You've got Melissa Gilbert, who's got massive name recognition and star power. And then you've got Gretchen Driscoll, who is got less of those things to point to than the other guys, but it still seems pretty like a pretty competent legislator.
Yeah, well, as you said, that you made that very clear in your piece, Nancy. Sharp grasp of policy and the district's tangible needs.
I think she's got a great resume. I think of all the candidates, she has the most credible resume in terms of someone who's actually held office and who seems to be, like I said, she seems to be sharp. She, my conversation with her, it's still very early in the game, and a lot of folks aren't willing to say, you know, here's what I think about things. She was not reluctant at all to say, here's what I think, this is what I would do. You know, I could have written a whole column on each of these folks. I didn't have time to get all this stuff into the column, but I mean, she was on it. So, you know, this is, I thought also showed a lot of savvy to try to distinguish herself and strong positions since she is working to build that
and well known in Western Washtenaw, which is very helpful if you're going to try to get some Democratic votes in the 7th congressional district.
And guess what, Nancy, you have months and months and months and months to be able to write those columns.
Chomping on the bit.
Lots of time.
I have to tell you, it was just such a relief to focus on something to do with 2016 that wasn't the presidential election for 5 minutes.
Get back to Trump. Nancy Cafford, Detroit Free Press, Zoe Clark, It's Just Politics here at Michigan Radio. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.